Good morning and welcome to Radio Rehab. Your host this morning will be Miss Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warrick County Court Substance Abuse Program. Like all our talk programs, we encourage you to call in to 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. This is a brand new program that we hope you'll definitely enjoy. And now, Radio Rehab with Lisa Seif.
Well, it's July 4th this weekend, Independence Day, and it's great to be in America. It's great to see what's going on in America today, too. But following up with the 4th of July and Independence Day, I've invited a guest that has been part of this community since she was a baby. She came from a family that was very concerned about social issues and has always been an advocate of young people and families. I got to meet Karen Ragland when she was the executive director of the Diamonds Girls. They did a lot of work with us through Youth First and through the Teen Power Camp. And Karen's always been concerned about making sure girls have the things they need and the tools in life to keep them from using drugs and alcohol and teen pregnancy and et cetera, et cetera. So I've known her to always be an advocate for young people and their families. I don't want to take up a lot of time, but I want to remind you that you can call in. The number here is 424-1400. That's 424-1400. Please call in, ask questions. Nothing's below the belt here at Radio Rehab. You can ask us anything, and together Karen and I will put our heads in and try to give you the best answer we know from our experience and expertise. But I don't want to go on too long. I love to talk, but I'm not going to. I'm going to let Karen tell us her story, a little about a lot of the experiences that she had with the Diamonds, and now she's on the school board with the Evansville School Corporation, and we're so lucky to have her sitting on that school board touching thousands of adults and young people's lives. So let me introduce you to Karen and let her tell us about herself, her concerns about some of our issues that Radio Rehab is trying to address, and let you call in. Karen, thank you so much for coming today.
Well, thank you for inviting me. Very glad to be here. I appreciate you as a good friend. I consider you an inspiration to me and in my life, genuine person. And I have to say this about Lisa. Lisa is the type of person that listens to you with sincerity. Aww. She looks you in the eye. She leans forward. I like when people do that because I know they're really paying attention to what my concerns or cares are. So I appreciate you and thank you for
Karen,
the opportunity to be here.
Let me make sure my boss is listening to that.
Currently I am a co-founder of a little nonprofit center, imprint center, in which I teach sewing to all kids. I've had males and females in my class, and it's really been a great experience for me because I like the opportunity to teach a new skill that you can, kind of like the fish theory, you can learn to fish and eat for life, or you can just be given a fish and eat for a day. So if you can give a skill and then you can use it for your life. But
that's,
I'm really
awesome.
Having a
sewing.
Good time with that. Yes. I kind of want to make sure that it's not the forgotten creative. It's a very great, been a great rewarding experience. And I guess I founded that, my son and I, and it's been a little over a year. And going a year and a half, so
that's great. What's the name of it?
Imprint Center.
Imprint Center.
And he's more involved with the digital photography and arts and movie production and that's those sort of things. So, but my gift to the classes are the sewing. So I really have a great time, and it's just wonderful to just see the kids take that material and turn it into a fabric, pillow, whatever it be, that they're making and
putting time and effort into something. We don't see a lot of people wanting to do that much anymore.
Right, and so it's a very great experience for them, but I've been on the school board for 4 years, but this is my year for re-election.
And well, you've got my vote.
And prior to that, before that, I was Diamonds Director for 10 years at the Y, and that was a wonderful experience for me and young ladies and that I still see graduating from college and getting married and they still, Diamonds is a very, very important part of their life that catapulted them into different experiences.
What was the Diamonds? How did that get created?
The Diamonds basically birthed out of the Housing Authority. There was a concern there for young ladies to prevent dropping out of high school and drug and alcohol abuse and building self-esteem and then career to develop a career after after high school and so on. And I became the director in 1997, and that was like I say, very experimental time for me, as well as helping make a difference in young ladies' lives, because I really feel that people need alternatives you know, life is really so short, and we only have a little bit to make a difference, to find out about ourselves, and there's a lot of affirmation. You know, you have to know who you are. I used to tell the girls to be true to yourself.
Do you think they knew what that meant?
No, because, you know, everyone comes. Some maybe did. Majority, because when your life is limited and you don't have those experiences.
Were these girls' lives limited?
They were from at-risk environments, you know, vulnerable situation. But really, being a part of the Y, it was discovered that all kids are at risk.
That's true.
You know, no matter what socioeconomic background that you come from, whether you're two-parent, one-parent, you're in situations that...
high risk.
That could, yeah.
Exposure to a lot of dangerous choices.
Yes. And I can truly say in my 10 years of working with them that I really didn't ever go to a court situation that really involved drugs and alcohol. I mean, there was maybe some poor choices that were made that were resulted, but and I want
to
really...
So you never had to take the girls to court?
No.
That's in 10 years?
No. I can recall on maybe two incidents which I had to
accompany them to court. Mm-hmm.
But I want to contribute it to the fact of teaching, helping them learn about themselves. What gifts and talents do you have? And when you're confident in who you are, then you don't have to put a confidence in a drug or alcohol or even so much another person.
Don't have to numb out.
People, yes. And as you begin to find what you are good at and what you can give, I think it helps develop you as a person. And so you become less dependent on something else. And we also taught alternatives and options, you know, and skills that, you know, when you become angry are, you know, I think we were sharing earlier that if you're in a home that maybe all you've seen was a violent reaction to
a stressor,
a problem,
yeah.
Those will make you, I mean, that's the way you think you're to react to
what
something happens. If hitting, it be cursing out someone or what, that's how you believe that, that's how you'd handle, you know, situation. So if maybe you're in a home that just picking up a bottle was the answer to, then that, you know, firm belief, mm-hmm. behaviors learn. We all know that, you know, in Psych 101, behaviors
yes.
learn. So. If you're doing that, then that's how you feel like that you, that's how you cope with things. And I really think that knowing that there's ways, alternatives, options that I can count to 10 or I can walk away from something and finding other people in your life, That was also...
You need support, good support.
Right, yeah, I think that became a family within a family.
The girls supported each other.
Yes, they did. And that, you know, there's like-minded or like situations, maybe came from the same kind of situation or background, and they could be a strength to each other and help. Well, this is how I was able to.
Yeah.
And then having, I think, mentors around them, adult people that they can trust, because you know, the more we know from 40 development assets, mm-hmm. that the more
protective factors,
values, yeah, that you have in your life, the less likely you are to engage in risky behavior. So,
so did your staff and you take the lead on providing these protective factors? And if so, how did you deal then with the other adults in their life?
Well, yes, we taught skills, conflict resolution. What other alternatives are there that you can use? And after, after a year of working with the girls and helping them through their situations and saying, you know, here's the objectives to what our program stands for, I found that after I started seeing them turn around and improve on grades and attendance to school, those things, that you know, they had to go back into the environments in which they lived.
Yeah.
And so how, you know, do I take those skills I'm learning and go back? And then after a year, I started developing parent nights and involving the parents. And again, you know, life is always an eye-opener. You're always a mm-hmm. learning experience. And that's where I found that after working with the parents that, you know, it's basic needs. If people's basic needs are met, then...
Yeah.
Again, they're almost like, again, they're less likely to engage in risky, because if you're in situations where you just feel like it's dead end, it's a continuing cycle.
Kind of like a learned helplessness, hopelessness.
Yeah, you have to, you start doing things that numbs, you know,
numb, yeah.
down, numb me and make me feel like, okay, I just will not, you know, this is gonna, I'm going to find another way. I need a quick fix right now to, you know, because all this is coming at me. And then I guess on a on a personal note, I grew up in a rural community in Princeton, Indiana.
Oh, you did?
Miles Station, yes. And although, you know, it was a very, it was you know, I really felt like I, you know, had a good childhood for the most part. But yet, being just kind of rural, laid back, you just... kind of went with, you know, life
Karen,
was easy going.
Hold on to that thought. It looks like it's time for a break. So let's take a break and we will come back. Radio Rehab, hang on. We'll be right back. I want to hear a lot more about Karen's life and the things that shaped her. So we'll talk to you again soon.
Your Midday News airs Monday through Friday at 12 noon and is sponsored in part by Fathers Matters Coalition, who's asking the question, have you been a father today? For more information, call 422-0626. The Westside Golden Corral, located at 5301 Pearl Drive, featuring their 99-cent kids meal all day, every day. Limit 2 children per adult. The 10th Annual Family Day in the Park, Saturday, September the 13th. Keep listening to this station for more details.
Today and sleep better tonight at America's Mattress. That's right, cash in on incredible savings on Serta this week at America's Mattress.
America's Mattress is Evansville's only Serta only sleep shop. That means we specialize in providing the nation's number one selling mattress for less.
Shop today and let our sleep experts demonstrate the superior benefits of Serta Perfect Sleeper mattresses, electric beds, memory foam beds, and more. You'll feel the difference the moment you lie down.
Hurry in for incredible Serta savings this week. This is your best opportunity to get the very best prices on Serta with great financing available.
Plus, at America's Mattress, when you select your mattress today, you really can sleep on it tonight with free same-day delivery, free setup, and free removal of your old bedding.
Don't lose another night's sleep on that old, worn-out mattress.
Save today and sleep better tonight on your Serta mattress from America's Mattress.
Get here now for extra savings this week.
At America's Mattress, South Green River Road across from Lawndale.
Hey, you. Yeah, you listening to the radio. It's me again. Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Hi, everybody. We are back on Radio Rehab with Karen Ragland. Before the break, Karen was starting to talk to us about her life and her childhood. And I think it's worth hearing on Radio Rehab because her whole mission has been to help people develop tools to survive vulnerable situations, which we all have. And her whole mission is to help teach people a way to do life in a non-destructive way. So I'd like to hear how she learned herself to go through life without being self-destructive and using drugs or alcohol. So back to Karen.
Yes, like I said, I grew up in on a farm, you know, and it had the stigma, you know, life is slow and, you know, you just take it easy and so on. But
I don't know, them farm girls, they're tough girls, farm girls.
And it was a 10-minute drive to get into town, you know, and I remember being kind of teased and well, you know, you're so far in the country, we had to pump sunshine, you know, in town gave us the sunshine. And, but, you know, this thing about things socially, where I recall a lot, you know, the fellowship of the men would be to stand around the bed of a pickup truck and a cooler of beer, and that was just, you know, unless it was farming, planting crop season. And, you know, I just kind of remember as a kid, like, man, you know, kind of like, what a life, you know, that, you know, is that all, just to stand around, you know, and do that. And then growing up and then personally having, you know, probably in my young adult, teen years, you know, when you have a family member that becomes involved in alcoholism, and I can remember as a kid just, you know, you're sitting around, maybe watching TV and everything, and then, you know, this person comes in and they're unhappy with their life or ridden, you know, guilt-ridden, and so then just start
conflict.
Yeah, just to, you know, they're unhappy, so they're going to make everybody else unhappy. And
did you relate it to drinking, or did you just think something's wrong with us? A lot of kids where there's alcoholism think it's their fault.
I pretty much attached it to, because I'm saying, like, well, you know, we're fine. We're sitting here cool, chilling, and then, you know, you're coming
suddenly,
in, creating havoc and all that stuff. So, you know, and I remember going to bed many a nights with, you know, the yelling and screaming going on and just wishing, you know, hurry up morning, hurry up day, you know, thanking God for when peace and quiet, you know, mm-hmm. came, because it does traumatize you. So I could relate to kids and young kids in which...
I was just going to ask you then, with the Diamonds, because a lot of them had family members or adults in their life that were drinking or using drugs. Mm-hmm. I bet you could identify a little with their unrest.
You know, just wanting that, you know, you want to just find, and, you know, I found that it steered me And I was, you know, that one that, you know, if this is what, if it made you drinking, made you act this way, I did not want any part of it. And I can remember, you know, that socially or, you know, I mean, I like to, you know, have a good time, like, you
sure.
know, but that was not, there was just a limit. I mean, I can probably had good fun without.
So you made that decision going
mm-hmm.
into high school?
It caused me, yeah. I would say that was my trauma part
yeah.
that if that makes you react, because, you know, when this person was sober, and they were the goodest gold.
Yeah.
You know,
Dr. Jekyll,
provided,
Mr. Hyde. Yeah.
You know, we're hardworking and on.
Yes.
But I thought, man, if that makes you, I don't want any part of that, and I don't want it even to probably relationships. I didn't want anything to do with somebody that
drank,
you know,
if
I thought, y'all, man, if they lean too much to that, then, you know, you just might.
What do you think we need to do then in our community? I mean, do you see that substance abuse and substance dependence is a problem?
Yes.
With the young and the old.
Yeah, and I've really seen an increase, you know, going back as far as, like, females were filling the courts with, you know, more situation, higher incarceration.
Yes,
the
yes.
girls that I work with, I would say 80%. Had it's the father, yeah, the moms, you know, were incarcerated, and there's three particular instances that I recall. We would have these times where we call it the honesty chair, you know, honesty, and we'd have these talks, and particularly, I think we had a guest speaker. I'd have speakers come in again, helping to work with skills and
sure.
helping to, you know, cope and what's alternatives I have. And the girls were talking once, and one girl said, you know, she said, I know this is wrong. She said, you know, you're supposed to love your mom and all. But she said, I was so angry with my mom. She said, we got into a fight. She said, I got to fighting her because I was so tired of, you know, she was in and out
yeah.
of, you know, incarceration. And she said, you're supposed to be taking care of us. You're supposed to be providing
safety,
you know, yes,
security,
and it was just the hurt, the pain, you know, and I could relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had another.
So the young are taking care of the.
Yeah, the role reversal was going on, and that was the second where they were saying they had to find. I said, you know, I'd have to tell my, you know, the kids need diapers, or you're going out tonight. You know, it was just.
They're the caretaker,
the
family.
The role and it didn't feel good. It did not to have that responsibility on them. And then I think the really kind of pinnacle story, a young girl was telling me that she had to, she said that this it was just the it for her was when the mom sold the refrigerator for drugs.
Yeah.
And, you know, here, you know, okay, the refrigerator, you need to keep your food in it
yeah.
so you can eat. And just and just the tears running mm-hmm. down her face. And so
those parents love those children, but that addiction is so powerful.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it is frustrating for the children to watch their parents.
It is. And, you know, several years ago, I think the PTA and some other organizations had Milton Crea here.
I loved it. He shaped me, Milton Crea. We had him at Teen Power, too.
Oh, awesome.
And at the U of E Drug and Alcohol Institute. Oh, he woke us all up.
Oh,
he said, we're losing the war on drugs. Get that picture clear. We're losing it.
Oh, what powerful. Well, he did a profound demonstration where he had, it was all middle school kids and maybe just even sixth graders or whatever, but he asked the question, he said, how many know somebody that has been
yeah.
affected by drugs and alcohol?
Were you there that day? That was
yeah,
at Robert
yeah.
Stadium.
Yes, Robert Stadium.
Oh my God.
Filled with kids.
What an eye-opener for the community to see. The hands go up.
Oh, yeah. And then he kept branching it out, you know.
How many of you know somebody with a gun? How many? Oh, yeah.
And before you know it, the whole auditorium was standing up. I think it proved that no matter what race, no
That's
matter
right.
what income, that
gender,
it, across
age.
The board,
yeah.
this is it affects all. And I have personal theories. I have manifestos I make for myself.
Good, we gotta have those.
And I think it goes back to coping skills.
Yeah,
it really goes back that, you know, no matter what...
It is that basic need.
Yeah, the race, no matter what, the economics, no matter what we come from, that it can be incorporated. I say as simple as in health class in school. And it can start from K through 12.
You mentioned that when we were talking. That's an awesome idea. Yeah, say something about that. Just integrating it in the school classrooms.
Yes, just how to cope, you know. I mean, health is
health,
a subject in which we
work.
Talk about, you know, socially and basic needs of human and all, but we're in such a hustle-bustle society to where, you know, it's instant gratification if we don't get our food through the drive-thru in 60 seconds and on and on, that I think we
deal with,
like, when things don't come to us or happen for us in that same amount of time, then... What do? We revert back to Psych 101, behaviors learned. Mm-hmm. So-and-so threw the garage door opener when it didn't work, then picked up a bottle, or they got drugs, or they did whatever.
To cope with that situation at that time.
I think
you're right. It is.
And it doesn't cost, we get hung up in the cost of things, and God knows that's very important, but... when you teach the basic like that, it really would not, if you're talking about time and you're talking about investment. And then what are some other people, you know, back to what I was saying about the four developmental assets, what is an asset, and that's having another caring, the more caring adult
people.
Circle around you, then you can, when even those darts of this, that, or whatever are coming at you,
you're prepared.
You can reach back and say, man, I can pick up the phone, I can call Lisa.
Yes.
I can call, and it went back to that.
It's not an 8-to-5 kind of deal anymore when we're talking about dealing with our community, is it? It's an 8-to-5 deal. You know, you guys have Youth First in the schools, mm-hmm, providing mm-hmm. counseling for the kids, and that's exactly what they do. Coping mm-hmm. skills, mm-hmm. just coping 101.
Mm-hmm.
And most kids want to learn different ways.
Oh yeah. Who really wants to wallow? And it goes back to if people's basic needs are met. I mean, I've worked for years, probably a 20-year span of working with, through youth ministry or you know, activism, youth programs.
Yeah, everywhere you've been.
If you meet people's basic needs, and again, it doesn't cost that much.
That's
if you meet their basic needs, then it
They'll
just helps
thrive.
Them. I mean, if you get, you know, I think we were sharing earlier, if you're working 60 hours a week and you haven't even put a dent in rent, you know, you need an outlet. You need, like,
That's
you know, what else, and are you overwhelmed with...
How do you talk about self-esteem to someone that doesn't even know if their home's going to be there when they get, you know, if they've lost their home? Yeah, you're right.
Yes.
It is. You got to get to the basic needs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It is so important, and knowing that there is an alternative way for me to be able to, you know, cope
in this world,
to have another choice other than picking up a bottle or... abusing in some sense of situation.
Well, the light is flashing, Karen. I don't know if that's a phone call coming in. Let's see. Just a minute. Caller, are you on? Do we have a caller? Well, I guess we don't have a caller, Karen, but here we are at the end of our time already. Would you come back?
Yes, I will.
We're just getting started.
Yes.
I would really like to pick your brain more about coping skills. And I know once addiction mm-hmm. happens to somebody, they just have to get clean and sober.
Right.
And then learn new coping skills, or they return to the addiction.
Choices. They have to see that there is I can make a choice. I don't have to...
use that to cope.
I have another alternative over here.
It's
just critical. And I mean, people need people. And we've really got to get back and affirm. You did a activity at a retreat once, and instead of the just general, you know, I really appreciate you, but you take that particular quality about, and I appreciate, you know, God gave me that gift that I could look at people and I can say, you know, you're good at speaking, or you're good at art, or you, mm-hmm. and build that, because mm-hmm. then you can lay a foundation for self-esteem, and then you can say, well, you know, instead of me going out drinking with it, I can paint a picture, maybe I can write in my journal, you know, yeah. I write well, you know, Lisa said I write well, or right. Miss Jones, or right. my grandma, or whoever.
Put that, Humpty Dumpty back together again.
Right.
And you are one of those king's horses and men that are putting Humpty Dumpty back together again, and I appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank
and
you.
I'm glad we're on this journey together.
Yes.
Thank you for coming.
We need each other. Thank you so much. I appreciate being invited.
Here. Oh, you're welcome. And signing off, Radio Rehab, see you next Saturday. Until then, don't forget to do the next right thing. This is Lisa Seif signing off.